Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I have been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. Today, we're speaking with Keith Williams. Like most people, Keith started out in the mid-2000s TNRing a few cats around his home. In 2008, his county passed a TNR ordinance and he volunteered to be the colony registration central sponsor. By 2009, it was obvious that many more TNR resources were needed, so a group got together and formed C5. As of December 2018, they've TNR'd over 35,000 cats, and the shelter euthanasia of cats is down by 90%. Keith, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Welcome to you, too. Thank you. Keith Williams here.
Thank you again for joining us today. I'm so very, very excited to have you with us. Before we get started talking about C5, if you could maybe share with us where you're located and how did you get started more specifically with regards to community cats and your passion for cats?
We're located in Las Vegas, Nevada, in Clark County. The way I got started is, we had a few cats around our house and we got tired of the litters of kittens like most people do. And so we individually on our own got them trapped and spayed and neutered and vaccinated. And that's how I think actually most people get into this. I didn't have an animal welfare background. I was did engineering kind of stuff. And then it kind of went downhill from there. Got involved when the county got serious about passing a TNR ordinance. Then, as you mentioned in my bio, a few of us got together and said, hey, there's this one resource that's just is not an adequate supply that needs to be more of this capacity available. So that's what we did. Let's start a TNR and TNR some cats. How hard could it be?
When you talk about the TNR ordinance, can you explain more specifically what that entailed?
What the TNR ordinance entailed was basically carving out free-roaming unowned cats from the owned pets. Before that ordinance was passed, a cat was a cat, and as far as animal control and the jurisdiction was concerned, all cats were pet cats. The only answer for them was, to be kept indoors. Several of the jurisdictions here, they had to be registered, and if one was found free-roaming, the only answer was to take it to the shelter. And if an owner didn't come and pick it up and it couldn't be adopted, it was euthanized. So what the ordinance did was it recognized that there was this population of free-roaming unowned cats that were not pets and established legal framework protocol for managing those cats in registered colonies. The colony registration requirement has been dropped in the meantime. But still, like I said, the cats are recognized as a thing, not owned pets, and the framework is in place to manage those cats without basically requiring people to take them to the shelter to be euthanized.
So this TNR ordinance helped encourage more trap, neuter, return in the community?
Oh, absolutely. It brought the people who were doing TNR out into the open where they could get resources, work with each other, coordinate with each other. It allowed the nonprofits who were supporting trap, neuter, return to once again come out in the open and openly solicit resources, openly operate, and actually, cooperate with animal control. And it allowed us to be just incredibly more efficient.
So through this ordinance, it actually brought the original group of folks that became part of C5 together? Or how did you figure out who was part of that first founding group? I find with so many organizations, there's three or five people who basically sit around the table and talk about, well, what can we do here? And that forms a group. So I'm wondering, where did the seed sprout from?
Well, I had the great fortune of being the central sponsor. I was the person that feral cat colonies were registered with in order to receive some, benefits and protections under the ordinance. Now, those colony registrations were confidential. They were not shared with animal control. They weren't given to the jurisdiction. They weren't available to the public. But I was able to reach out to those folks because I was the central sponsor and say, hey, let's, a few of us get together and talk about this. So I basically able to hand pick the people that I felt were the most involved and the most motivated to make this happen.
Were you concerned about starting a 501c3? Some people are very overwhelmed by the concept of all the paperwork, the obligations of running a nonprofit. Did that concern you at all?
I was blissfully ignorant. And also, one of our original members was an attorney, and he offered to jump through those hoops for us. The process to start a 501 is not particularly onerous. I do recommend finding somebody who's an attorney who's willing to do a little work for you, or, you know, slog through it. It's not totally a piece of cake, but it is something that's entirely doable.
So let's take a deep dive into C5. Tell me specifically, what are the programs that you have and how is it maybe different from other organizations?
C5 has exactly one program. We trap, neuter, and return free-roaming unowned cats for colony caretakers. As I like to tell people, we don't rescue, we don't foster, we don't adopt, we don't do dogs, hamsters, gerbils, or goldfish. We are the ultimate one-trick pony. We trap, neuter, and return free-roaming cats.
And how do you pay for the spaying and neutering of all of these cats?
What we do is we have various fundraising operations. We have our annual Great Catsby fundraising dinner, which is in November. Also, we do the Nevada Big Give and a few of the online things. Early on, we did some direct mail. The noise has kind of gone out of that. That's not as productive anymore. And the other thing we do is, you know, everybody hates asking for money. We've created what we call our trapper envelope. When our trappers finish a project, they quite often will give the colony caretaker envelope, and it has entered one of our brochures, a letter explaining what we've done, and a donation form. Most of those don't come back. Some do. And so that's been productive for us. And also, I certainly do have to mention, we have gotten grants from PetSmart Charities, from Maddie's Funds. You're always beating the bushes for any source of revenue that you can find.
Well, and then talking about those grants, before I hit the record button today, we were talking a lot about documentation, data tracking, and that kind of information. Have you been tracking your data since the beginning of C5's time?
Since before the beginning of C5, actually. I came from an engineering, data-driven background. I did data analysis for a living before I started doing cats. We are amazingly documented. We know about every cat that we've trapped. And when you're going for grants, nothing succeeds like success. You need to be able to show what you've done, show what your scale is, what your resources are. It is so important to have documentation to keep score. You know, we just had our wonderful annual Super Bowl event. I don't think there'd be many people watching it if they didn't bother to keep score.
So true. One thing I question sometimes about the documentation in some of these grant applications, I don't necessarily feel 100% that, you know, you can talk about the number of cats that you have spayed and neutered in the community. And you have the euthanasia rates that are down in the shelters, which is also a great success. However, the question is, that shelter figure really that important in assessing what life is like for the community cats that are out on the streets? And is it really a humane community for cats? And how can we really evaluate that life? It may not necessarily be those metrics. I mean, I think a targeted analysis of an area or reduction of that tribal knowledge of knowing that the number of free roaming cats that are out there is actually going down, I think those are great. Great informational data points to share with folks. I didn't know what your thoughts might be in terms of really good measurement of our successes.
The shelter statistics are very limited, but they're convenient. Really, all they are is a convenient metric. The number of cats that go into the shelter is such a small percentage of the overall number of cats in the valley that if my only purpose was to drive shelter statistics, there's a lot easier ways to do it than what we're doing. They're really almost a secondary measurement of the effect of what we're doing. One of the primary things about what we're doing is we don't trap cats. We trap colonies. The basic unit of cat reproduction is not the individual cat. It is the colony. So we focus on trapping entire colonies. You know, we get reports back from colonies that say, hey, we have hardly any cats left because no kittens are being born. So while, like I said, the shelter statistics are convenient, they're useful for what they are, that's really not what your primary motivation is, because there are certainly much easier ways to drive shelter statistics down. Our motivation is to get the resources out into the community to manage the cats where they live. And really the secondary benefit of that is driving those shelter statistics down.
When you were the colony registration central sponsor, it sounded like you were the data collector. Do you use that same system now? Do you use a certain software package or spreadsheets? Can you share how you keep that information?
Excel and Google Earth are my two primary tools. I map everything we've ever done on Google Earth so I can pull it up in a quick graphical format and pull up an address and see what we've done in that neighborhood or at that specific location. One of our big things that our whole organization is built around is what's called our trapping queue. We have a queue. It's our list of projects. And as they come in, they're put in one bin in the unclaimed section. And that gets sent out to the trappers. And they claim them. Then they go into the claim section while they're being worked. And then when they get finished, they go into the green section, the finished section. That way we track every project. It's not fancy, it's just basic stuff. Currently, we have trapped at 2,912 different locations. And, I know where every single one of those are. And about 20% of the projects, 10% of the projects, people will call in, say, hey, I got these cats, need some help. Then the trapper calls them and calls them and calls them and never can get a hold of them. And those fall out the backside. I still track them. I know where they were, but, that's in case they get motivated and call again in the future. But really basic tools, there's no super special software package or anything. It's just Excel spreadsheets and Google Earth.
You mentioned trappers, and obviously 2,000 many, many, many colonies out there. Tell me, how do you handle trappers? Do you rent traps out to the people who are feeding the cats? Or do you have like volunteer trappers? And if you do have people who volunteer to trap, how do you recruit extra trappers? Because I know people feel like there's a shortage of trappers out there.
There is a shortage of trappers. We tried loaning traps to colony caretakers, and that just simply was not very efficient. You know, some of them were great and just hopped right on it, got all their cats trapped. But weeks later, you try to round up the traps and they're sitting there full of leaves and dust and stuff. It just wasn't very efficient. So we have a cadre of volunteer trappers. Oh, we've got about just over 25 right now. And they are all volunteers, and they pull projects from this trapping queue. And our volunteer trappers, basically all they have to do is trap the cats and then transport them to our central staging facility. We have volunteers who clean and feed and water the cats twice a day. We have volunteers haul the cats back in the clinic. And then once the cats have recovered for a couple of days, the trappers come and pick them up and take them back to where they came from. The trapper is the interface with the colony caretaker. This allows the trappers to focus on what trappers love to do, which is to get out and work with the colony caretakers and get all the cats trapped. And it removes the burden of schlepping them back and forth to the clinic and finding someplace to keep them for a few days while they recover and all that stuff off their plate by dividing up the workload among different people with different specialties, if you will. It's allowed us to be much more efficient.
So how did you find these 25 trappers?
Oh, you got to turn over lots of rocks to find the juicy grubs. We, volunteer match online, social media, word of mouth, have people call when we end up in the newspaper or on the evening news every once in a while. You just have to recruit and recruit every way you can think of and look everywhere you can think of. It's just hard work.
Do you ever get all your trappers together once a year or any sort of management, or is it all sort of one-on-one?
It's very much one-on-one. We do try to get all the volunteers together about once a year for a volunteer appreciation kind of thing where we all sit around and eat pizza or whatever. But for the most part, we live by email, texting, voicemail. We're a very dispersed organization. You know, everybody works out of their home. You know, it's very rare for us to actually all get together in one place.
So I know you said C5 is a TNR-only organization. How do you handle kittens or adoptable friendly cats?
For the most part, the kittens and even friendly cats go back to the colony. However, like I said, we don't do foster and rescue and adoption, but we partner with several groups that do. A number of our volunteers also volunteer with other rescue groups that do rescuing and fostering. And we pass off, 100 to 200 cats a year to these groups that we partner with. That's not part of our mission, but obviously we have no problem with another group doing that and any of our volunteers also working with another group that does that. So we use that as a resource to pipeline a small percentage of the cats that we get into the adoption field.
Trying to catch a pregnant cat in time? Are you after that last cat who isn't fixed in your 10-cat colony? Got a wily feral who just won't go into a box trap no matter how much you spend on roasted chicken? How about catching a litter of kittens all at once with their mom? All these tough trapping situations and more can be solved if you know how to use a drop trap. Join Neighborhood Cats, co-designers of the first mass-manufactured drop trap on the market, as they demonstrate how to best use this trapper's best friend, the drop trap. A Trapper's Best Friend is a webinar presented by the Community Cats Podcast and Neighborhood Cats on Saturday, June 29th, 2019, from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To sign up, go to communitycatspodcast.com. We'll see you there. Catalogical exists to help cat parents love their kitties better with the most in-depth cat food reviews online, plus hundreds of other fact-based articles. Catalogical is your one-stop shop when it comes to learning more about your cat. Catalogical works with multiple retail partners to provide custom coupons on everything from automatic litter boxes to microbiome testing, so you're also likely to save when you choose one of their recommended products.
I'm making an assumption here, so I will just ask the question. Do you test your feral cats at all?
Overwhelmingly, no. There are a couple of very good reasons for that. If we have a cat that is showing signs of an illness, they say, hey, something's wrong with this cat, we will test it. The problem with the normal screening test, the AIDS leukemia test, is second of all, they're expensive. First of all, the false positive rate is about the same as the incident rate of those diseases in the community. So statistically, what that tells you is that if you test a perfectly healthy-looking cat and it comes up positive, the chances of it being positive is about the same chance of it being a false positive. So what does that tell you? And what do you do with a perfectly healthy cat that tests positive on a test that's probably only 50% accurate? You might as well flip a coin. So unless the cat is showing some signs of illness and we want to use that as a factor in making a decision about that cat, no, we don't test.
Could you share with us a little bit about what your staging area looks like?
Well, our staging area looks amazingly like a two-car garage because that's what it is. We've coated the floor to help keep it clean. It gets mopped several times a day. So that epoxy coating, which gets renewed every year, is a big player. We have your basic banquet tables that we've made risers extensions for the legs to raise them up about a foot so your backs don't hurt quite so much. We got a cabinet with all the food supplies and water and all that kind of stuff. And just bring the cats in, put newspaper down on the tables, line the traps up side by side, and just take care of them. We can get about just over 80 cats in this two-car garage.
Oh my goodness, wow. So you can do mass trapping quite easily.
Yes, we have almost 300 traps. We've actually staged the most, I believe, was about 140 cats at our staging area. We have a covered patio outdoors that we can overflow onto. So we've got over 25 trappers. So yes, if it's one cat or it's 100 cats, we have the scale and the expertise and the resources to handle it. We have gone into mobile home parks and within a week trapped over 100 cats, got them all sterilized, vaccinated, ear tipped, staged, and returned. That is like the way we like to do things, industrial scale.
So now that you've got this huge success at 35,000 cats TNR'd, are you reaching farther and farther out? I mean, is your target area, are the number of free roaming cats reducing or trapping fewer cats? Are your numbers constant annually or how do they fluctuate?
35,000 cats sounds like quite a lot, and it is quite a lot, but we're certainly not running out of cats. We're still trapping as many as we have resources to here in the Las Vegas Valley. The projects are tending to get smaller. We're seeing fewer of the great swarms of cats at a location and many more of the mom and kittens, relatively small numbers. But that means we have more projects with fewer cats, which means we need more trappers because trapping gets less efficient. But we are also reaching out further afield. I think the farthest we've trapped is actually at Nipton, California, which is down south across the border. One of our trappers actually went and spent the weekend trapping cats. I regularly go up about an hour north of town to the Moapa Valley and, port trapping out there. And fortunately, we've gotten into a position where we're able to reach even further afield. I met one of the folks up from White Pine County, Ely, at a conference a while back, and we've actually given them some assistance with some financial support and some traps to help kickstart their operation up there.
Wow, that's excellent. If you had some advice for folks who would like to start something similar in their community, what advice would you give them?
My first advice would be look around and see if there's already an organization doing serious TNR. And if there is, join them. Unfortunately, most places like us just don't have that resource. Get together with some people and make it happen. There's a lot of resources out there. It's not fresh territory anymore. There's plenty of us who are doing this, who've done this, who will be more than happy to help you along, point you in the right direction, give you good advice. Get that handful of people together who are really dedicated to this and make it happen.
So Keith, if folks are interested in finding out more about C5, how could they find you or find the organization?
Well, the quick and easy way is our website, which is www.c5-tnr.org. And from there, you can send a note to me, to the organization, and find out what you need to know.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I'll tell you my cat story. One of the most important things to know about these community cats is what I mentioned earlier. The basic breeding unit is the colony. It's not the individual cat. These cats and African lions are the two cats that raise kittens communally. And in order to effectively manage the population, you must trap entire colonies. That is probably the single thing that has allowed us to be as successful as we are, is that from day one, we have targeted trapping entire colonies.
I'm with you 100% on that one. I'm a firm believer of it. I've never really been a fan of the 70% rule or the 80% rule. I've always been a fan of really focusing and trying to get that last cat, or else you're just going to be right back there again.
Well, the way the population dynamics work, I'm putting my data geek hat on here. If you don't trap all the cats, you have pretty much wasted your time. I hate to be blunt about it, but that's the bottom line.
So before we close out, Keith, I have one last question for you. Do you have a favorite type of bait to use when you're trapping?
I'll pick up a box of the small tins of wet cat food, and I'll get a variety pack. There are some cats that go crazy for seafood. Other ones have no use for it. Some love chicken, some don't care for it. So I'll just mix it up. All of our trappers seem to have their own secret recipe, mackerel tuna mix with some secret sauce thrown into it. But what I use, like I said, is just mix it up, get a variety pack of small cans. If you got some real stubborn ones, Kentucky Fried Chicken original recipe seems to be the hot ticket. But for general stuff, just mix it up. Try different things.
Do you prefer the drop trap or a box trap?
We normally use the TrueCatch 30 LTDs for the vast majority of our trapping. We do have the drop traps available for those stubborn, hard-to-get ones. But like I said, 30 LTDs are our go-to trap.
Keith, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on my show and spending time with me today, and I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
Oh, I hope so, and thank you very much.
Join us June 21st through 23rd for a kitten-focused event presented by the National Kitten Coalition and the Community Cats Podcast. This three-day virtual gathering will feature presentations by experts on raising and saving kittens, setting up and managing kitten-centered shelter programs, and more. Early bird tickets are available now through April 30th for just $50. And after that, $75 tickets will be available through June 22nd. So don't wait. Sign up for the 2019 Online Kitten Conference. Wow.